All right, guys, you ready to get into this?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. I debated about this message tonight over and over and over in my noggin. And I had to get out of my head and get into the spirit and see if I was going to do that and should I talk about this or not. And just recently, Jesse Duplantis was here. Of course, you know that here at the church, but he was at the staff, and he came and spoke to the staff, and he had a word. This was March 26, 2019, and somebody in the office handed me this, and I read it, and I realized, okay, I am going to teach this. He says this: all you people that come to KCBC, that's the Bible College, Kenneth Copeland Bible College, all you people that work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries at Eagle Mountain International Church, well, that would include me. Look at me, he says, I'm going to give you a revelation. And then this is in bold lettering. God is looking for revelation in you. That's why you're here. This ministry is known for its revelation. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You can't. How is it that you have no faith? What's the matter with you, he says. You see, there's a revelation in you that needs to be brought forth and brought out no matter what, where, or any time. My point is this here. I'm reading from Jesse Duplantis, March 26th. Why are you here? Why are you working for a prophet? Why are you part of this ministry? Because God wants to put revelation, and he's looking for revelation, so that it can be revealed to the people you know. Do you see that? Do you understand? And so when I got that, I went, okay, I'm going with a revelation tonight. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Let's agree. Agree with me. I need your help tonight. Oh, Father. Come on, guys, pray with me. Say, I come to you in the name that's above every name that's named in heaven and earth. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask for strength and insight and wisdom into your spirit. Yeah, that's how I see it. Layer upon layer. Clarity of thought and purpose. I'm going to ask you, sir, to reveal yourself. Holy Spirit, wash us in your word. That we'll never be the same. Reveal yourself into us tonight that we'll never be the same, that we'll take the message of a risen Savior to everyone we come in contact with, that we'll be strengthened in faith. I thank you for it. I thank you for it in advance. I thank you for it in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, you guys know me now for a little while, and you know that I notice things, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to explore the last few, since we're in the Resurrection Day season. I want to explore those last few days, that last week in particular, of the Master when he was on the earth. And I want to look at, he was heading towards his death, burial, and resurrection. Matthew chapter 12, we'll begin in verse 38. I've got the King James Version. It's the version Paul used. No, it's not. I'm joking. I'm using that tonight for standard purposes, okay? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, the scribes and the Frankensteins come to Jesus. You know why I call them that, right? Does anybody not know why I say that when I say Pharisees? Why some? Okay, there's some that don't. A Frankenstein was a monster. And he was created, he was trying to make a man and he made a monster. And religion is a monster. A relationship is what God created. Man created religion. And far too many times it has bolts and stitches and it's sewn apart. It's bits and pieces of dead things sewn together and called alive, but it's dead and it's freakish and it's scary.
Yes.
Right? And I say that about religion because that's the people that Jesus had problems with.
Yes.
Come on. He never found a broken person and called them bad. Ever. Not one time. The people he called bad were the religious ones. Just saying, I'm just saying. I know because I was one. I grew up a Pharisee. I was trained to be one. And so it's my pet word for Pharisees or religious people. And we have Pharisees in the church too. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Pharisee. All right? We have them. And I'll tell you a great way to spot them. The one thing that Frankenstein was afraid of was
fire.
You let the fire of God hit a church service and you'll spot them. They're running for the door. Out they go. Out they go, man. All right. So here we go. You there? Matthew 12, verse 38. You there?
Yes.
Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master. Isn't that horrible? Or actually, they said teacher. Teacher, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Uh-oh. Have you ever prayed, Lord, show me a sign? Whoa, hey. Ooh. I just changed somebody's prayer life. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it. But the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, it says in the whale's belly, great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Then the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Boy, that went over well, didn't it? That did not go over well. Jesus is answering, and he said to the Pharisees, I almost said Frankenstein's, I'm trying not to do it as often. The Pharisees, the only sign they're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah, because he makes a comparison between Jonah and himself in these verses. And he refers to himself as the one that's greater than Jonah. And so I got to look, if that's the case, I got to look at what happened to Jonah. Yes? To make the comparison. We've always taught that what happened to Jonah is because you can't run from the call. Oh, you can't run from the call of God on your life. Right? I mean, if I heard any sermon on Jonah, that's the sermon. You can't run from the call. Because if you run from the call, fish is going to eat you. Something's going to happen. Something bad will happen to you if you run from the call. Is that true? Is that Jonah's story, pretty much? Not always. No, not really. Not really. It's not the essence of the story at all. In fact, Jonah wasn't running from God. He was running from having to tell the Gentiles about God. He's the first Jewish evangelist. And he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want them saved. He's like, I know you. God, I know you and I know what you'll do. You'll forgive them. And they're not worthy of it. I don't want them forgiven. Come on, have you done that? Do you know of anybody that's just not worthy of being forgiven? I don't want the Republicans forgiven. Or the Democrats. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I hear people do that stuff all the time. I don't want this one forgiven. I don't want that one forgiven. I'm preaching now. Not getting any amens. So he doesn't want the Gentiles saved. He doesn't want this to happen. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Key thing. Jesus said that. Is that true? And so he's saying that he will be in the earth for, he will be dead 3 days and three nights. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I got a problem. Now, you're probably sharper than I am, but I've always tried to figure out in my little brain, how could he die on Friday night and come out of the grave on Sunday morning and I get 3 days and three nights? Anybody else ever wondered by that? And some will say, well, the Jews, any part of a day counts as a day. No, Jesus is very specific. With 3 days and three days, he didn't say part of a day. So the observances of Good Friday and Easter Sunday have perpetuated a traditional chronology that the crucifixion took place on Friday and the Lord's body was buried on that day about 6 p.m. and that he rose from the dead early on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that the ladies went there before the sunrise. Here's some of the problems we have. Let's lay out the problem before we solve this. Anybody glad we're doing this tonight?
Yes.
Listen, why are you doing this? To strengthen your faith that you know that the word is true. And he watches over every single thing meticulously. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. I'm trying to go slowly with the references for you, for those of you at home. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay. I'm still trying to reconcile. So that's a problem, right? The traditional rationalization is that the Jews recognize part of a day as a whole day, and it's not, that's okay. If you want to go that way, let's go that way. That never satisfied me. Okay? The mention of nights as well as days makes it harder for me to reconcile my head around that. Right? Now, furthermore, Paul declares that the resurrection of Christ to be according to the Scriptures. That was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matter of fact, let me just show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number, I'm going to begin. I'll start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, look at this, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures is he talking about? Anybody? It's Old Testament. It's Old Testament. That's the Scriptures he has. So we're talking about prophecies, and we're talking about types and shadows, but we're talking about the Scriptures. It could be he's talking about Abraham and Isaac. The moment Abraham took Isaac to go, he reckoned him dead before they ever got to the mountain. That was 3 days. So it could be that, or it could be something else. It could be the verses that we read in Jonah, right? Okay, let's go on. Look at verse 4. And that he was buried. Well, you've got to learn this right here. Here is the gospel. Here is what makes you stronger than an acre of garlic. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Probably that one in Jonah. Okay, next verse. And that he was seen of Cephas. Peter. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. This is decades after now. So that he's talked to people that were there. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then all the apostles. Look at this. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul had an encounter with Jesus. When? The road to Damascus. He also had an encounter when he was on the backside of the desert being taught by the Lord. All the things he had learned as a Pharisee, now seeing it in Revelation. This is how Paul's going to write your New Testament for you. Most of it. You got it? He had a personal teaching by the Lord himself. If you believe that. I believe that. So, now, if we want to intensify Matthew 26, let me show you something. You want to intensify the controversy about 3 days. We have an issue at the trial of Jesus, at his trial. When you have a trial, deposition, you're telling the truth, right? You're standing up before, you don't want to perjure yourself at a trial. Is that correct? So in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 59, Matthew 26, you guys okay with me tonight? You staying up? Trying to go slowly. All the Bible college students are thinking, I wish he'd do that with us. Did I hear an amen? Was there an amen in there? Look at this, verse 59 of Matthew 26. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. It's a rigged trial. But found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. There it is. So this is at the trial. Right? So what did Jesus really say? Destroy this temple or his body, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. See it? So Jesus is being quoted at the trial saying that. Same phrase occurs in the gospel about a dozen times. From John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. So we've got that thing being said over and over and over and over. Do you think when Jesus says something, it is fact? He means it? Yes. See, that's why I haven't ever been able to reconcile this whole Friday morning, Sunday morning, or Friday night, Sunday morning thing. In my head. Okay? Now, the same problem occurs like a dozen times. Nowhere, listen to me now, this could be a sacred cow moment. I want to warn you, the next sound you hear could be a tipping. All right? If your neighbor slumps over, raise them back up. Those of you that have floaties on, pump them up. I may be going against your nun at your school and your Sunday school teacher, and as sweet as she was, here we go. You ready? I gave you opportunity to brace yourself. Nowhere in the Gospels does it assert that Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. Nowhere. Nowhere. So where did we get that from? I'll show you in just a second. We also have another problem in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, this is about 6 days prior to Passover. It's John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. He's coming from Jericho to Bethany. Bethany is about 7 to 11 miles by memory from Jerusalem. It's outside. Bethany is the place he stayed at more than anywhere else. He rarely stayed in Jerusalem. He stayed in Bethany with his friends, Lazarus and all. And the woman, Mary's going to anoint his feet. Remember that for burial? Remember? That's all going to happen there. So he comes from Jericho to Bethany. Here's the problem. If he's crucified on Friday, and 6 days before that, he comes from Jericho to Bethany, we got a problem. That means, let's go backwards. Friday, right? Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday. He's not an Orthodox Jewish teacher going to be walking from Jericho up to Bethany to Jerusalem. He can't do that. See it? It's impossible for him to do that. It's a Sabbath. Now I got more problems. How am I going to reconcile this? I am not trying. You can put your shield of faith down. I am not firing fiery darts at your shield of faith that you need to block these. All right, everybody just put your shield of faith down. I'm not firing darts at you. I'm trying to get us some understanding so that we'll have a better knowledge of our Savior. Yes. And you'll be confident in your faith that the word is true.
Yes.
So, there's the problem. If the Friday view is accepted, then 6 days earlier, that's the weekly Sabbath, and you can't make that journey as a devout Jew. Okay, go to Mark chapter 15. Let me show you something. Mark 15. You remember when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." And then he goes on in that same teaching there, and he talks about, "For all these things the Gentiles seek." You ever notice that? I never understood that until I started studying this and I saw it. The Jews, their entire dating system, and when I say dating system, I'm not talking about dating to get married dating. I'm talking about the date, the calendar. Their entire work week, their entire everything is built around the Sabbath. That's the day of rest. And everything they do is to enter into that rest. Now, that's what we're called to do now that we're grafted in. But the Gentiles' calendar doesn't work like that. We're working for the weekend. Come on. Right? And we look forward to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Woohoo! Right? We're going to Disneyland. When I pastored in San Diego, the biggest threat to my church was not a friend of mine's church. It was Disneyland. And the beach and a sunny day in the desert. And I mean, anything for people to get outside and do something, that was my biggest competition. It was not my friend's church. So we work, we do everything to earn a living, to work. This is what Jesus is talking about. Our whole system is about coming to a place where our calendar is structured about our work week.
Yes. Yes.
Their calendar is structured about their Sabbath day. This is why the Gentiles seek to enter into that rest, but they can't because they don't have the covenant. But now that we have the covenant, see, our calendars are different.
Yes.
We go from midnight to midnight as a day. They go from sunset to sunset. It's different. I'll get into this. I'm getting ahead of myself. Mark 15. Did you get there?
Yes.
Verse 39. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw, he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less and of Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. Where were all the guys? Never mind. And many other women. Yeah, where were all the guys? You didn't hear it. Sorry. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. So they came with him on this journey. And now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, there's where we get it.
Yeah.
Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate. That was dangerous. And crave the body of Jesus. He's asking for the body of Jesus, and he's going to bury him. Remember this? Okay. There's where we get that phrase. That's where we get the Friday. Because it says the evening before the Sabbath, which is when?
Thursday.
Saturday. Right? Saturday's on Sabbath. Starts Friday night, goes to Saturday night. And so now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Okay? So in addition to weekly Sabbaths, there are seven high Sabbaths in Judaism. The Jews had other Sabbaths, besides the weekly Sabbath, which is Saturday. Can you put that that verse up in the Greek? I made a little screenshot that I want to show you, and you'll see this at home, because that's not translated correctly. Here it is. In the Greek, after then the Sabbaths, plural. Not Sabbath. If it's Sabbath, the day after the Sabbath is Sunday, when he was risen. Sabbaths is plural. Do you see it?
Yes.
In the original text, we have it singular. In the original text, it's plural. Meaning, did they have two Saturdays that week? See how I start studying stuff and I start seeing things. I want to show you something. So at the end of the Sabbaths, that's plural in Greek, applying, there was a plurality. There was more than one Sabbath that week. And now we're going to get into it. If Passover is the 14th, fell earlier in the week. See, here's how we do this. Let's go to our side real quick, okay? Christmas. Christmas is always December what?
25th.
Right? It'll be this year and it'll be next year. But December 25th doesn't always fall on the same day, does it? So here's my question. If December 25th ever fell on Sunday, would we not have, we would. would we not have Sunday? We still have Sunday, but do we have church?
Yes.
Yes, no, some don't. There's the difference between the Gentile and the Jew right there. The Sabbath is always Friday night to Saturday night. But Passover can land on a Monday. And it's still a Sabbath. Now we're starting to get somewhere. You see it? So it falls on the 14th. If it fell earlier in that week, the 15th could have been any day prior to Saturday, which is the weekly Sabbath. When the Sabbaths were passed, would of course be Sunday. Because when the Sabbaths are passed, would always be Sunday. Because the second Sabbath that week would be Sunday. See it? Am I tilting you? You okay? Is this too heavy? Is this too deep? You all right? I'm going with Revelation tonight. Jesus declares he's going to be in the grave for 3 days and yet was to be resurrected on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the day of the Feast of First Fruits. Okay, there are three fall feasts, three spring feasts, and one that stands by itself, and that's Pentecost. Jesus came and he fulfilled everything exactly to the day. Exactly. And I'm going to tell you the three remaining ones, he'll fulfill exactly to the day. And I'm going to show you a chart here in a minute to just show you some things. Is that okay? So, on the day of the Feast of First Fruits is when he came out of the grave. Our Easter Sunday, First Fruits. That happens coincidentally to be the day that Noah landed with the ark. And we got a new start on the planet Earth. We got a new start when he came out of the grave. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's exciting stuff. Listen to me. Daniel prophesied hundreds of years before, exactly to the day that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem, fulfilling that prophecy of Daniel. And Jesus did it. He rode in exactly to that day. So everything that happened that week was orchestrated. Everything he did was orchestrated. He cursed the fig tree that last week.
Yes.
See, when you understand when this stuff happened, because I never could understand, why did you curse a perfectly good fig tree? What did that fig tree ever do to you? How unfair is that? I lived in California. They love to hug trees. I had a fig tree. I liked my fig tree. Why would you curse a fig tree? You never did that? I did that. I know why. It goes all the way back to the first Adam. He's fulfilling something here. When Adam committed treason and Adam sinned, the second Adam came and undid that. The first Adam, what did he do? He hid himself, didn't he?
Yes.
And he ends up blaming the Lord Jesus himself for this. The woman you gave me, it's your fault. When all he had to do is repent, he would have been forgiven. Come on. There still would have needed to be an atonement made, but it would have been much easier on everybody. He didn't do that. And what did he do? He's hiding. He said, I was afraid. I was hiding. And the Lord calls out in the Bible, it says, Adam, where are you? In the Hebrew, it doesn't say that. In the Hebrew, you could say this, Adam, why are you where you are? He knew where he was. He's asking why. And then I love this question. Who told you you're naked? I've been saying that every time the enemy puts something in my head. Who told me I can't have a house? Come on, if you're in him, right? Who told you you don't qualify? Who told you you're not called? Come on, I'm letting it sink into you. Who told you you're not healed? Who told you that the power of God didn't begin working in you the moment you were laid hands on?
Yes.
Who told you you're not forgiven? See, all of those things came from the enemy.
Yes.
Who told you you're not worthy? You are worthy because he made me worthy. Come on, you got to get that attitude in you. Yeah. And every time those thoughts come to you, I want you to hear the Lord say, who told you? Because I didn't. Jesus, my God. See, that gets me happy right there. I mean, that something gets in my boots right there when I start saying that. I didn't tell you that. You need to start believing what I told you. Well, they're a really anointed pastor, and he told me, well, Big Mama told me. I don't care what Big Mama told you. He told you. And the Lord asked him that. Who told you? I'm telling you, you better get that in you. Say it with me. Who told me?
Who told me?
The minute that stuff starts coming up in your life, I'm sorry, we can't approve your application. Who told you that you can't approve my application? We can't accept you into our... Who told you that? The Lord didn't tell me that. I'm not moved by this. You got to get that attitude. I'm not moved by it. Michelle has learned it by now. We'll be driving down the road and I'll go, no, out loud. And she goes, what? And I'm like, nothing. I'm not bringing it up. It's under the blood. I'm not talking about it. I just have to tell myself when that thought comes, no, stop it. I've done it. I've been driving along and go, stop it. Because I'm not going to relive. Oh, this is for somebody. It's not in the notes. I'm not going to rehearse and relive something that happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Not even a year ago. Not even a week ago. I'm not going to rehearse that. It's under the blood. Who told me I have to be this way the rest of my life? He didn't. Glory to God. See, we think we have this label on the outside of us, and everybody looks at the label. They all know about me because they got the label on my jacket. No, he took the labels off of you. He was without sin, committed no sin, walked down and took all the labels that were stuck on your jacket and put them on his jacket and nailed them to the tree. Went to the grave with him, went to hell with him, and he rose without him, which means he left him there. All of your labels did not arise with him. So it's time to get free. Oh, people still bring stuff up. Listen, they still bring it up. That's okay. Let them bring it up. That's not who I am. And the enemy will show you a picture of yourself. He'll show you a picture. And it's you, but it's you 30 years ago. My high school picture, we got a reunion coming up, and everybody thinks it's really fun right now to throw pictures up on the screen of the internet. I turn one on, and every single day, guess who tagged you? Stop it. I don't look like that guy anymore. I'm that guy, but that's not me. I'm telling you guys, if you get this, I'm telling you, it will set you free.
Amen.
Who told you this?
Amen.
And so what did they do? They tried to cover themselves with what?
Fig
leaves. The second Adam comes along and sees a fig tree with no fruit on it. And he says, no more covering sin with fig leaves. And he curses it. I'm doing away with this sin thing. I'm doing away with it once and for all. And that's why he did it. First Adam tried to cover himself with it. The second Adam said, no more of that. Getting rid of it. I'm telling you, he got rid of it. And this is why you've got to see yourself in 1 Corinthians 15, that you were crucified with him and you were buried with him and you rose with him and now you're seated with him. You got to see yourself that way. Nobody else is going to encourage you in that. Especially church folks. You got to do it yourself. You got to stir yourself up. And your mama's not going to do it consistently. She loves you. Say, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, darling. No, get out of that. It's not who I am. I am trying. So he declares that he would be in the grave 3 days and yet was to be resurrected on the morrow after the Sabbaths, on the day of the Feast of First Fruits. It's interesting to me that the authorities were anxious to get his body off the cross before sundown, unknowing that they are actually fulfilling God's predetermined plan according to the scriptures, like Paul said. Noah's flood ended on the 17th day of the seventh month. This month becomes the first month after the institution of Passover. Our new beginning in Christ was the anniversary of the earth's new beginning under Noah. Don't you remember when he talked about the last days, a sign of Noah? All of these little things were clues. Well, why haven't I ever been taught this? I don't know. Same reason I wasn't taught this. I had to learn it. I called a rabbi friend of mine today, said, help me out understand the high Sabbaths. And we spent some time on the phone, and my head was spinning. So I'm trying to keep up, Rebbe. I'm trying. Israel's new beginning when they crossed the Red Sea is believed to have been on the 17th also of Nisan. Also, in their flight after Passover, Israel retrieved, listen to this, I read you about Joseph. Listen to this. As they're leaving, we always talk about them leaving with all the spoils, right? Yeah. That they loaded them down. They brought something else with them. As they're leaving their captivity, going into their promise, they brought one other thing with them. The body of Joseph. Yes. And I'm looking at another Joseph going to get the body. Oh, my God. He's fulfilling what was done to the letter. This is why you can have confidence. If he's got that much detail, whatever he's promised you, there's that much detail to it coming to pass. And nobody can stop it but you. I'm trying to make it plain. Let me show you... I'm getting some help. Let me show you a timeline. Let me show you a chart. We'll do the best we possibly can to show you this. Now look at this. Here's the timeline of the week of the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. I got it full screen. I know the printing is a small for the screen. The bottom half down here is the timeline of the first Passover, the very first one. The top half is Jesus at that fulfillment of Passover. So let me show you the bottom half of the screen. Passover lambs. The first Passover is in Exodus 12. It's the 10th day. Passover lambs are taken into the household. You take the lamb into your house. Imagine spending about 4 days with this little lamb that you're going to kill. Aww. Sweet little thing. Yeah. Okay, so that's what happened. Listen to this. The 11th day, 12th day, 13th day, that lamb is in my house. Must be a male lamb without blemish, and lambs were to be kept until the 14th day. You can find it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. After that, we get over here to the 14th day. The lambs are killed, right? And you eat the Passover meal. That's the 14th day. Then we get into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. the day right after it. Now, we've already gotten the leaven out of our house during this week. Leaven is a type of sin. You get rid of all the leaven. Now, they didn't do this on that day because they didn't have time. They were in such a hurry. But all of the sin is gotten out of our house. Now, if you understand the examining of the lamb, I've told you this before. When you got saved, you made the walk. Anybody make the walk? The saving walk. Just as I am without one plea, right? And you get up and you walk down. You guys didn't do the walk? Oh, I did the walk. I had a trail I cut in the carpet doing the walk. You do the walk, right? When you came to the temple with your lamb, the high priest, I'm bringing you my lamb. And what are you going to do? You're looking at the lamb. He's examining the lamb. The Father's not looking at you. Even to this day, he doesn't look at you in that regard. He looks to the lamb. You're only as good as your sacrifice. Mine was perfect. Glory to God. Didn't look at you. Never did look at you. It's always been about the lamb. Here's why Jesus in that last week gets so upset and he overturns the money changers. Remember that? Gets the whip out. Goes all crazy. Just saying. Right? Sweet little baby Jesus. Creates a stir at the temple. Filmed 11. Remember that? You know why he did that? They had a racket going. I came all the way from Nazareth in the Galilee with my lamb. And I watched over it and nothing would happen to it. And I'd bring it to you and you'd go, ooh, it's got a little wonky eye, that lamb. Can't use that lamb. Right? So now you don't have anything to offer. Here it is. You don't have time to go get another one. We just happen to have one here that we can sell you. Wait a minute, that one's more expensive. Well, I know you need it for your sins to be. And so you have to pay extra to him. And now, after you're gone, he's going to sell the lamb you just brought to somebody else. And that's what Jesus is upset about. Must be a male lamb without blemish, where it would be kept until the 14th. Passover lambs are killed. Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. We're still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread takes us into the Feast of First Fruits. That is the original Passover. Now let's look at it in this last week. You ready? Messiah is fulfilling this beginning in Matthew chapter 5. And we've got all these here. This is going from Jericho to Bethany. That is what's happening when she anoints him for his burial. Remember this? And says, we'll be talking about Judas gets a little upset right there. Okay? Before we've ever gotten over to here where he's going to get involved. Jesus will enter Jerusalem when the same day that the Passover lambs came into your home. He goes into home. He goes into Jerusalem. The city of David. Son of David goes into the city of David. This is precisely the day that Daniel prophesied that it would be hundreds of years before. You remember? And they were screaming out, Hosianu, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're doing the Feast of Tabernacles at the Feast of Passover, and the religious leaders say, make them stop. It's the wrong, remember it? It's the wrong, that's in the fall, this is the spring, make them stop. And he said, if I make them stop, the rocks will cry out. Now, the reason he said that is because coming out of that Mount of Olives, right there is the tomb of two prophets that prophesy about Jesus. And he said, if I make them stop, these prophets are going to start crying out. My God, Jesus. So he enters Jerusalem on the same day that lambs are taken into the house. He comes into the house. They are to be examined. Right? The chief priests and the scribes and the elders begin questioning him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees begin questioning him. Matthew 21, Luke chapter 20, Matthew chapter 15. Remember all that questioning they're doing? What are they doing? Examining the lamb. Because John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Remember it? Okay, so we're going down this. Okay, now, Do you notice Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? This is our calendar. I did this here to where it comes in at sunset to sunset. So these days, this day goes over Friday and Saturday. Okay? So this could have been late Saturday, probably would have been late Saturday after the Sabbath, because the weekly Sabbath, because Feast of Tabernacles, they're doing lights and remember all that stuff? So his entry is coming in. Okay, I'm not getting too deep. You okay? Yes. You all right?
Yes.
Is faith arising?
Yes.
Okay, so he enters in. These guys are starting to question him. He goes to Simon the leper's house, Matthew 26, Luke 20. All of this is happening. Now Judas, going in here Monday night to Tuesday night, he has the plot to betray him. This is when he's meeting with those people. All of these days are the days that we're examining the Lamb. Okay, so that's all that's happening. He's still upset about what happened back here. Okay, and you've heard Brother Copeland talk about he was the treasurer. He's going to get some money to replace. He's upset because he wanted to sell that. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he said, no, she did this for my burial. Jesus right here is already thinking about over here. It says in Scripture that he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and die. There's nothing that's going to stop him from this appointed moment. And what set this whole thing up goes back here to when Lazarus is raised from the dead. All of a sudden, the Greeks, everybody's ready to believe on him. So here's the deal. The Gentiles are ready to believe on him. There's a Jonah sign. See it?
Yes.
There's a Jonah sign. And that's when he knew this is the year. Because the Greeks, you remember it says, Master, the Greeks, go tell them that the Greeks want to talk to him. They're all excited.
They're excited, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And so that to him was the telltale sign of him being like Jonah. The Gentiles are ready to receive me as Lord. Can't happen till I pay this penalty first. Okay. So the plot begins right here. That has us on Monday evening to Tuesday evening. Now, he has his last supper with his disciples, Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22. Do you remember in the first Passover? Let me submit this to you. Remember this in the first Passover, you had to bring the lamb in, the death angel was going to come over. And you put the blood post on the doorpost, right? And you stayed in the house. As long as I stay in the house, I'm good, right?
Yes.
And so that tradition carried over, that on Passover night there, they're not out of the house. Except, wait a minute, he went out of the house that night. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the firstborn of Mary. And he went to the garden. Remember it? And angels ministered to him. Remember this?
Yes.
See the death angel coming at that point. The angels are ministering to him. And he's actually asking, if there's any way possible to get out of this thing, I want out. Right? Remember that?
Yes.
So he's outside the house. If he's fulfilling things, and he's the firstborn, just submitting it to you. Can you see that connection? Okay, so he has this Last Supper, and somebody else went out of the house that night too, Judas. What you do, go do it quickly. Okay, so that night, going into that night, this is when the crucifixion thing happens. Now, on that night, the Passover lambs are killed. And they have the Passover meal. He has already started the blood coming out of him before he's ever been nailed to the tree. So the process of crucifixion has already begun, as all over the town they're killing the lambs. It's already begun. See, he gets Judas out of there because it's already begun. Do you love him?
Yes.
Oh, I do. I do so much. So they eat this Passover meal. Jesus makes an interesting comment. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He says, I won't again drink of the fruit of the vine from the cup until I do this with you. And they're thinking, yeah, okay, what, next year? What? They don't have a clue. And I'm going to get into that problem next week. I'll talk to you about Passover and all the significances. But it's this third cup, and we'll talk about it next week. He says, I won't drink this again. There's coming a day. Listen to what happened when they went in the room that night. He did not take the sword of the Spirit and use it on them. He didn't take the word. He wraps a towel around himself. So let me tell you what he would have done. The creator of all things would have taken his overgarment off. He would have pulled that off. His shoulders may have been exposed. And he would have wrapped, it says that he wrapped a towel around himself and he begins to wash their feet. Remember that?
Yes.
And he kneels in front of every single one of them. And Peter, being Peter, objects.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I don't wash my feet, bless God. I'm going to wash your feet. Well, really and truly, a disciple should have done that. That should have been the order that they served him. But the servant, the master became the servant and served them. And he says, if I don't wash you, Pete, then you'll have no part of me. And he says, well, don't wash my feet. Wash all of me. Remember that?
Yes.
I'm ready for all of it. Just dunk me good. I'm paraphrasing it, right? And then Jesus says a very interesting thing to him. I've already cleansed you. You don't have need of me to wash you again. Just your feet. Because you carried things of the world tonight in with you. I've already cleansed you. You're just carrying stuff on that needs to be washed. This is why I pray every single time I preach, wash me in the word. Because I've carried stuff in with me. Here's the kicker. Those big, broad shoulders of the master knelt in front of Judas Iscariot. Knowing what he knew, he washed his feet. My God. I don't know that I could have done it, Everett. There's coming a day, church. This is what we have to look forward to. There's coming a day when he will have the cup with us. Communion service will happen. He'll serve you. My God. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, I won't drink of this again until I do that with you. And he's talking about you because he prays about you. In chapter 17, those that will believe based upon their words. That's you. There's coming a day when it won't be an usher, and I love our ushers, but it won't be an usher handing you the elements. It'll be our Melchizedek. You want to talk about a messed up day, John. If there's any tears, I'm going to be doing them. And I'll probably be tempted to wash all of me. Because I get that. I mean, I get it. So that's what's happening that night. So he goes to the garden. Angels minister to them. The boys are falling asleep. Remember that? The crucifixion is beginning. So they take him for the trial at the same time the Passover lambs are being killed and eaten. They take him. This next, coming into this next day at night, the high Sabbath begins. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. The high Sabbath begins, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He's crucified. He's died here. And they got to get him off the cross before high Sabbath.
Yes.
Not the regular weekly Sabbath, high Sabbath. They got to get him off before that happens. Because once that happens, see, Feast of Unleavened Bread goes here. You can't go back until this day. See it? He'd be hanging up there for several days. He can't do that. He has to be buried. And even Joseph goes and makes that deal to get this thing done. So this high Sabbath, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Exodus chapter 12, the 15th day, Mark chapter 15, the high Sabbath hits. So they're in a hurry to get him down. And then, unknowingly, they help the cause by having guards seal the tomb. So there's no hoax that can happen. Right? So this happens on this day, after that first day of High Sabbath. Mary and the other Mary purchased spices to anoint his body. Mark 16 and Luke 23. This is that next day. So that's, here's day one, or night one and day one. In the Hebrew, it would be that way because we start at night. Night one, day one. Night two, day two. See it? They purchased this. Now we're getting into the weekly Sabbath, Friday night. Okay? Night three, day three. Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 23. And this is the last of Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we have the resurrection that will take place right here. Coming out of that day into the first day of the week, coming out of that Sabbath, so coming out of sundown, coming into that next morning, they go early that morning and they find the stone is already gone, the guards are gone, and this is the Feast of First Fruits. He is the first begotten of many brethren. He is the Feast of First Fruits. A new beginning began for every single person because Lucifer couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. And so there it is. Do you see it? You have more than one Sabbath that week. This is the regular one. Would be right here between Friday night, Saturday night. There's the regular one. They can't come to the grave that day. See it? There's no way the ladies can come. They can get it ready to be going on the next day. On that early, that's why they came very early on Sunday morning, even before the sun up is about to happen. So the Feast of First Fruits, Exodus 23, Exodus 12, we're still in that. And he's risen. You can see it all here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke 24, John chapter 20, Mark chapter 16. So there it is, risen from the dead. 3 days, three nights, perfect fulfillment of the scripture. Absolutely perfect. No jot or tittle missing. Isn't that beautiful? You can have confidence if he was that detailed. What has he promised you? What has he placed in your heart? I'm going to tell you something. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord that changes not. He covenant, he cannot lie, he will not go back on his promises. So has he promised something to you? Yes. Then he has to happen. Yes. And he's going to watch over it, even if he has to get heathens involved to speed stuff up or to secure things, he'll do it. He'll have a heathen secure your house. Yes. For you to move into it. Yes. Yes. Hook your mouth up with him. Hook your heart up with him. Hook your faith up with him. If he promised it, it has to happen. Your ministry is going to happen. I don't care how delayed it seems to you. It's going to happen. Has to. Did he call you? Yes. How many of you, he called you to move here and you didn't make any sense to move to Texas? Look at the hands in this room. It wasn't in vain. It's not. If he called you, it's not. Okay, let's go back. Let me take you back to Jonah real quick. Can I do that? Jonah chapter 2. We're going to wind this rascal down. Did you learn anything on that?
Yes.
That whole thing? Did it answer the question?
Yes.
Your head doesn't hurt, does it? I didn't hurt you anyway. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, where? From the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, I'd say. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over. Now, if Jesus compared himself to Jonah, he cried out from the heart of the earth. Verse 4 says, "Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet again I will look toward your holy temple." When Jesus died on the cross, he was cast out of the God's sight. Doesn't it say that the Father turned his back on him? When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was not for dramatic effect for future films. It was a literal thing. He knew no sin for the first time in the existence of anything that existed. He was separate from his Father. Oh, my God. See, we don't know what that's like because we were born separated. We had to be reborn. That wasn't the case for him. For the first time ever, it's the first time Jesus ever called him God. He didn't say Abba. He didn't say Daddy. He went, oh, God. That's exactly right. He's hanging between heaven and earth with not a stitch of clothing on him, beaten to a pulp, staring in the face of an angry God who turned his back on him. Listen, he went through things so you and I wouldn't have to go through it. You remember when he told the disciples, I've got to go somewhere you can't go? Where was he going to go? To hell. He went to hell so I don't have to. He went to hell so that I won't. Somebody told me that one time. They said, you should go to hell. And I said, I did with Jesus. I was in him and came out of there with the keys to the place. This guy looked at me like, you're a weirdo. But he turned his back on him. Listen to this. He turned his back on Jesus so that he would never turn his back on me. You ever been walking on the water? You feel like you're out there walking on the water and you start sinking? I have. One of my favorite pictures that I have, and I keep it with me all the time, I look at it when I get in one of those moments, is it's blurry because you're under the water looking up, and everything's blurry except the hand of the Lord, which is through the water, and he's reaching down. And I call it my, I got this. See, here's the thing. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, but Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. And you're his child. You're his disciple. Have you ever watched young parents with a little one that's just learned to walk and stuff? It's like they miss everything the first time. And here's a thing that'll help you with your children. Never let their feet hit the floor at Walmart. Let's keep them in that cart as long as you possibly can. Because once their feet hit the floor and they realize, oh, there's stuff for me to grab. There's places for me to run. I've watched parents run around like this. And they're like, have you ever seen it? Their eyes are totally on them. That's your Savior. His eyes are totally on you. And if you fall, he's got you. If you sink, he'll grab you. You may take your eyes off. He will never take his eyes off you. You guys laughing at me over there? Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Matthew 5, verse 25 and 26. Jesus is saying, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there. Listen to this. Till you have paid the last penny. Matthew chapter 5, verse 26. You will not get out till you pay the last penny. Jesus is talking about a natural thing. He's talking about a civil case here. But it has spiritual implications. He's referring to a time when he's going to be cast into the prison, into the heart of the earth. Also, we can assume that his spiritual adversary is Satan. We know that because of the start of his ministry, right? He's saying that agree with your adversary. Now, we know we never agree with Satan, but he agreed to become sin. So in that regard, he agreed to become the treason. All right, here it is. So you're going to suffer the consequences described in these verses. He's delivered to the judge. And when he was placed on the cross where the Father stood in judgment over him, at that time, the Father had to turn his back, all right? And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then Jesus was turned over at that moment to the officer. I just read to you about the centurion officer in the natural. Acknowledge who he was. Remember it? So more exactly, he was legally turned over to the devil.
My God. The one who created Lucifer was now legally turned over. I don't like talking about a whole lot about what happened the other night, but one thing that happened the other night with the lady who was set free in there, I was in there, we were all ministering to her. One thing, a voice came out of her and was talking and said to me, I have legal right to her. She was dedicated to me. I have legal right. The enemy will always do that. I have legal right to her. I said, no, you don't. He says, I'm the king. I said, no, you're not. I know the king. And the king took away your legal right. Next thing I said to that thing was, do you know where you're at? You have any clue where you're at? You're at the revival capital of the world. You're at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You're trespassing. I doubt you. So Jesus is turned over, legally turned over to the devil. He's cast into the prison of hell. And according to Matthew 5:26, he cannot come out until he has paid the last penny, the entire debt. But I will sacrifice, Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. See it? This is the sign of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish. The Lord spoke to the fish and it puked him out on dry ground. Now all the people in Nineveh saw that and they went, okay. You think they listened? Oh yeah, they listened. Jonah probably smelled funny. I mean, when he walked into town, you could have literally said, something fishy going on here. Just saying. Just natural thing here. So he's vomited out on dry land. Jesus was spit out of the heart of the earth. And this can only mean that he must have paid the entire debt to the penny. You missed a great shout time right there. After he came out of the fish's belly, the Lord told him, arise, Jonah. That's in chapter 3, verse 2. And Jesus came out of the heart of the earth. He arose. Didn't he? When the Lord spoke to Jonah that time, he obeyed. Jonah walked through the great city and he cried out and he said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And every last one of them repented. And it didn't happen, right? Here's an interesting thing. Jesus came out and began to expound on things, and he taught for 40 days. Just like Jonah. 40 days of grace, which God gave to Nineveh, and 40 days when Jesus walked on the earth in his resurrected body. Back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus is speaking to the unbelieving Pharisees who would not accept him as the Messiah. He says, the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And one greater than Jonah is standing right here. Listen to me. It's like it's an indictment against religious people. Don't be one. Believers, you don't have to pay the wages of sin and spiritual death because Jesus went to the cross. He suffered in hell for them. And while he was in hell, he paid every single thing to the penny for you. Now you walk in freedom. To the day, to the hour, to the penny. And that's exactly what he's doing for you right now. You are absolutely free. There's nothing holding you back but you. Nothing holding you back. Spencer, is that counting me out to the heart out? Thank you. Stand with me if you would. Did you get anything? Did you learn anything? Yeah? What about you? Did you get anything? You're free. You're free. He paid a heavy price for you and you're free. Do you remember Paul? The place was shaken where they were sitting, right? They were praising, worshiping at midnight, the darkest hour. The place was shaken, and the jailer is about to kill himself. Oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. And he said, we're still here, right? Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to let you know, the prison door has been opened. Yes. And there's no more reason for you to sit inside. There's no more reason for you to be held back because of your race or your religion or your education or lack thereof, or you're a male or you're a female or whatever it is. There's no reason. You are free, and you're free indeed based upon what Jesus did and your faith in that. And now you can have confidence that all the dates and numbers match up. And so therefore, because of that, all the dates and numbers in your life will match up. In the authority, I prophesy it. I prophesy it over you. Every appointed season and date will line up in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus' name. The work that he has begun in you shall be completed. All to the glory of God in Jesus' name. You're getting that house. You're getting that car. Your kids are coming home. In the mighty name of Jesus, he's never taken his eye off you. He has saved you for his glorious purposes. The blessing is upon you. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. The blessing's on you. I said the blessing's on you. You can't be defeated if you won't quit. You're a weeble. Right? Glory to God. Glory. I made me happy. I don't know if I did anything for you guys at all, but I made me happy. All right. Sunday is a very special day here at the mountain. Make sure you tune in for that. Those of you here, make sure you check out the small groups. Go to the announcements on the websites. Make sure you, if you can't be there, make sure you watch the Branson Victory Campaign. Go ahead and set your TV right now and record it and watch it and be part of it, okay? Be part of it. If you can't, at least pray for it as it goes on. All right, you ready? Know this, that God loves you. And we love you, and Jesus is Lord.